Good morning. Very warm welcome. Some notices, some highlights. Messy Church is this afternoon at 3:30, and everyone's welcome to come along. Next weekend, on Saturday, a team will be preparing the church for Harvest Festival service on the Sunday. So if you can help next Saturday, please, do come along. And on the Sunday after church, there'll be a bring and share lunch. For your prayers, please remember Brenda Parkin. She's in Kingston Hospital. She's broken her hip. Barbara Fielding has had major surgery on her knee and is recovering well. Also next weekend, there's a group from our church, from the choir. They're going to Guildford Cathedral to a free church choirs festival. And at the end of the day, there's going to be an evensong at 6:30. And there'll be a choir of 300 people, and you're very welcome to attend. The people from our church have been working very hard to do that. Thank you. Oh, and I've been asked to say I'm going away for a couple of months, and I will miss you all, but I'll be back in December.
Join together to worship God. The Lord calls us to be faithful in all things, so let us worship the living God. We join together to sing, "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you.
We say the psalm. Don't be worried on account of the wicked. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong. They will soon disappear like grass that dries up. They will die like plants that wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and God will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in God, and God will help you. God will make your righteousness shine in the noonday sun. Be patient and wait for the Lord to act. Don't be worried about those who prosper or those who succeed in their evil plans. Don't give in to worry or anger. It only leads to trouble. Those who trust in the Lord will possess the land, but the wicked will be driven out. Have a seat. And we join to pray. Let us pray. Great God, nothing is more awesome than your terrible humility. Even if we choose to fight you, you let yourself be fought. It has been your way with us from the beginning, and yet it still surprises us that we can come and seek you face to face almost as though we were on equal terms. And yet, the nearer you come, the more dreadful your humility is. And you are God who comes in dignity of love for us, like Jesus, who comes breaking the grip of death. We know that you are God of infinite patience and never exhausted, and you come time after time, even when we ignore and reject you. Even when we crucify, you resurrect. We deny life, and you go on reaffirming it. Forgive us, O God, that we have become obsessed with the new and the spectacular and have lost sight of the everyday. For every duty that we evaded, for every act of mercy that we did not accomplish, for every opportunity to make love known that we rejected, forgive us. For all the wonder that we have walked past and taken for granted, for our carelessness with the earth, forgive us. And the Lord Jesus offers to us life in all its fullness, and says, our sins are forgiven. And then, follow me. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you like this microphone? You'd like the Beyoncé Knowles, as I like to call it. There we are.
Would you like to come out the front? Some of the children, come in, you can see what we're doing. There's a nice row of chairs here.
Thank you.
oh, we've only got one person. What about Sue and Julia? I need somebody to come and answer some questions. No? Okay, well, it's down to the grown-ups mostly. Right, I've lost my piece of paper. Right, sorry to keep you waiting. I've got on here some jobs. I've left out some of the letters, some of the jobs that we have to do. This one was for the children. Can anybody work out something that most children have to do? Do you know what letters are missing? Right, grown-ups, go on, Bethany. Sorry? Homework. Who likes homework? Can't spell it. Whoops. Right, there's homework. Now, this one's a bit more complicated. But I have given you the first letter. Any ideas? Anybody read it? Jenny? Tidying your room. I expect to hear a few groans. Tidying your room, right? I've got two more. This one, I think, is something that adults and children can do. Any ideas? What do you think it is? It starts, I'll give you a clue. It starts with W. Yes, washing up. Deep joy. Thank goodness for dishwashers, I say. And this one really is for the grown-ups. Paying the bills. Right. So, is there anybody here who likes doing any of those jobs? Bethany? You like paying the bills? So you do it all efficiently and it's done. Do you, if you sound not very happy, so what do you do if you don't like doing those jobs? Do you ever put them off till the last minute? Go on, put up your hands, admit it. Right. And then eventually you have to get it done. So how do you feel when you've done it? Very, very halo and really good. And do you sometimes think, why didn't I just get on and do it at the start? No? Do you think people in the time of the Bible had problems like this and jobs to do that they didn't like? Well, a bit later on, you'll be hearing a bit more about that. Oops. Oh, and sorry. I can say now we'll sing Faith yes. As Small as a Mustard Seed.
So what you can remember about Jesus is he was a person that used to communicate with people, and he sort of told jokes, and he sort of used language to paint a big picture. And this is one of those examples. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. He could have said, turn into a donkey. It's just, faith is small, it can grow, and it can have amazing results. That's what it means. So we're going to sing.
Thank you.
So Jesus, who's reading, by the way? Catherine. You up for it? Cool, thank you very much. So here we have Jesus in a circle, and they ask that their faith would be increased. Perhaps they're, you know, think of that, this is getting towards Luke 17, we're getting towards the end of the ministry of Jesus, and they're thinking, holy schmoly, are we really up for this? And Jesus, let's, you know, if you deconstruct a joke, this is ironic, this is hyperbole. And then it speaks about the ordinary days. Catherine Trieg will read this passage to us. Thank you very much, Catherine.
The apostle said to the Lord, make our faith greater. The Lord answered, if you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant who is plowing or looking after the sheep. When he comes in from the field, do you tell him to hurry and eat his meal? Of course not. Instead, you say to him, get my supper ready, then put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may have your meal. The servant does not deserve thanks for obeying orders, does he? It is the same with you. When you have done all you have been told to do, say, we are ordinary servants. We have only done our duty.
So it's not going to get the crowds flocking in, is it, to say, it's all about forgiving others, which is the bit that Jesus is talking about before he comes to this text. It's all about forgiving others, and you're not going to be thanked. It's a bit like being a slave. Form a queue. And yet the surprising thing is that there is joy in it. Not necessarily happiness, but joy. So Jesus is in a section where he's talking about the trials of being a follower. And he's speaking to them about the importance of forgiveness. And they then respond with, how are we going to do this? And the call to forgiveness is about the ordinary tasks of discipleship and how you grow as a follower of Jesus and how you grow as a human being. It's all in the answer to the question, what is faith and how does it grow? And it makes it clear, the answer makes it clear that faith is not about, well, this is, you swallow this list of doctrinal propositions, that's how faith grows. And the more you can swallow, the more faith you've got. That's not how it is. It's about steadfast adherence and devotion to Jesus and to the Christian life itself. It is worked out in life. So the teaching is about forgiveness and discipleship, and it starts with how people are to behave to those who've done wrong to us. How do you forgive? In this context, haven't made a mistake, in this context, 7 times 7. How can you possibly do that? If you've ever tried to forgive and Luke says, Jesus, look, even if your faith was as small as the tiny, minute thing that is a mustard seed, it would grow, it could grow to something that is amazing inside you. So, okay, do we need to go to some sort of super spiritual boot camp to make this happen? No, says Jesus. The way it grows is in everyday life. Do we need to go to the mountain and stand on one leg and do something right amazingly extravagant? No. The way it grows is in the ordinary rub of learning to forgive, which is a sign that your faith is growing. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. And if you said to me, right, Leslie, if you wanted your faith to grow, find a mountain, climb, I would be there rather than have to live in the ordinary everyday of forgiving people who drive me nuts. Big extravagant gesture, who doesn't love that? If it was all sorted with one wacky thing, hurrah! But it's not how it is. And we live in times where we love, in our society, we love what is new, we love what is sensational. That drives the sales, and that's how it grows. But this is saying, the way of Jesus is saying, it's about saying sorry when you have messed up. It's about keeping on doing the small stuff that is the stuff of life. It's about gathering in church week by week. It's about finding out ways to stop the noise every day, to stop the noise and wonder where God is. It's about finding wholesome ways to spread the gospel and to tell of what you believe to be true. It's about getting our eyes off ourselves and our obsessions and thinking about others and thinking about God. It's about living in a way that is easy and light on the planet, which is more than just putting your cardboard in the right bin. It's about when we gather at the table and have Holy Communion. It's about seeing more, discerning more than bread and wine. It's about the loads and loads of tiny, small choices in the right direction. It's about hanging around with unlikely people. So how does faith grow? It grows because it is used and then it has the potential to be developed. And in what context does faith grow? Faith grows in the everyday. It's not about having to go off to special classes. It's about being aware all the time that we're being challenged and allowed the privilege to develop. It is about the ordinary, unspectacular stuff of life. And then, as I'm busy writing this, well, I don't know about you, but this is how God works with me. I think it's one of the dangers of being in the pulpit. As I'm busy working on this, all this forgiveness stuff, I get a text from somebody that really, really, really tells me off. And I'm furious. And I want to send a really, really, really rude text back. And I want to, I'd be rude about them to a whole load of people and darken their name. As I'm writing about forgiveness, I get this. And that is exactly how it works. Feels unjust, so I pray. And I put it away, and I learn what I've learned about not replying quickly, and I take my time, and hopefully the next time I get a text where somebody is annoyed with me, I will have learned some stuff. And I'm not saying I won't mess it up again, but maybe something is learnt and something has matured in that process of not retaliating. That is how the seeds grow. And clearly it's about seeds growing into bushes. It's not about going into the sea. You don't grow mustard in a seed in the sea. The things don't grow in the sea, that's just bonkers. It's a hyperbole. So how does faith grow? It's not sensational. And you can quite understand why people go off to the next exciting thing. You can quite, of course, we're not idiots. We can see why people skip from church to church and conference to conference and event to event and, you know, get it. We get it. But it's about humility. It's about servanthood. And it's about every day lived well. And these are not easy sells in our time. They are, though, the calling of somebody who would say that they are a follower of Jesus, doing the ordinary in an extraordinary way. The ordinary. And knowing that that is how you develop as a faithful disciple of Jesus. But let's be clear. With all this stuff about you're a servant, you're a slave, you come in, nobody's going to cook your tea, it's just ordinary, blah, blah, blah. Let's be clear, though. There is tremendous joy in this. Tremendous joy to be had in doing well what you believe to be your calling. Not necessarily happiness. Happiness and joy aren't the same. But there is tremendous joy to be had in this. And others might look at us and think it's all a bit boring and serving. But we, in the middle of it, know something different. So let us be silent together and then we will pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise for those who have kept on going in the unspectacular things of life. We thank you for those who have loved us and nurtured us. And we thank you for those who now rest with you, whose love for us has shaped the people that we are, and we now get the benefit of it. Thank you. For those whose long marriage and long partnership, long friendship has been a source of joy to us, we thank you and we pray for those people. And we pray for those, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, the persecuted church, those whose commitment to you means that they are suspect in the sight of their neighbors. We pray for those whose lives challenge all of us to address some of the big issues of our time. For those who speak a word to us that challenges us about justice and mercy, about the planet and our care for it, and the lifestyles that we have. For those who keep on going to be a voice for the voiceless, for the small people that apparently nobody cares about, strengthen their resolve, Lord Jesus, and when they would give up, remind them, resource them, encourage them. And we at this time and at this place pray for our sisters in Christ who are in hospital. And we remember Brenda Parkins and Barbara Fielding. And we remember the nurses that woke up this morning feeling a bit grumpy, tired, and decided that they would go into work. And the catering people, and the cleaning people, and the medics, and the family who will visit. and those who will organise social care when people come out of hospital, and those who will travel round doing the caring. And those who will sort out the administration, and those who in the council will advocate, and those who will pay their taxes so that money can be found. Lord, we are connected with one another. Help us to play our part and to keep on doing it. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, out of the fullness of your gifts, we bring this bread and this wine, our gifts and our lives. Blessed be your holy name forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together to sing The Servant King, which you'll find at number 522, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. Thank you. Please have a seat. Now, I'm not going to take on and criticise what other traditions do. It's not my purpose. The purpose is this. We want to make it clear to everybody that we don't own this table. We believe that it is the table of the Lord, and we believe that everybody is welcome. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, you are welcome to receive bread and receive wine with us. If you would rather not, then that's your choice as well. But from our point of view, you would be welcome. So how it works is the elders will bring you the bread. If you have issues with wheat and gluten, then please use what's in these wee fish. And then once you've had a moment, eat it. And then they will come again and they will give you these wee glasses. There's no alcohol in this because some of us have got issues with the drink. So we can all drink. And would you hold the wee glass and then we will all drink together. People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. And hear the narrative of the institution recorded by Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. Thank you, God, that there are so many people who give themselves lovingly and sacrificially to the service of their fellow women and men. So many who go on doing good, never giving in, never holding back, refusing to be intimidated or discouraged. And we thank you for those who have encouraged us along the way. And we thank you especially at this table for those who now rest with you. Thank you for the vision that you gave them. The vision that you give. A vision of people free from distress and pain, nations at peace, with justice and mercy at the helm. And thank you for those who in small ways work for that bigger vision. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his teaching. We thank you for his life and death and for his resurrection. For the transforming power of his ministry. And for the Holy Spirit present in and through us and all your people, those who know it and those who do not. And thank you for your Spirit present for us through bread and wine and one another. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. to encounter you in this bread that would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine that would be for us as the blood of Christ. Thank you. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. In the face of death, he took bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." The body of Christ. So let us pray. God, there is much to be done. Your truth to be proclaimed, your children healed and comforted, your justice and mercy worked out in the life of the nations, and your name glorified. There are people to be loved and lives to be supported. And it isn't glamorous, and it isn't a one-off. And we thank you for this time and this table that resources us and encourages us in our ongoing ministry with you. Thank you for replenishing us. Guide us as we offer our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, Strengthen for Service, Lord the Hands, which you'll find at 461. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.